Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
What was the Kirtland Bank failure, and why did a Mormon historian bring it up during a question and answer period? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are continuing our look at a fascinating book titled Mormon Enigma, Emma Hale Smith, written by two Mormon historians, Linda King Newell and Valene Tippetts Avery. In this book, it gives us, as I've been saying, an interesting account of early Mormon history, primarily through the lens, if you will, or focusing on the aspects of Mormon history and how it affected Emma Hale Smith, the wife of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon movement. We might mention again that this was a book that, when it came out in the 1980s, actually received an award from Brigham Young University. However, the authors were not allowed to talk about the book in a church setting, so it was quite controversial. And I think it's the controversy, the aspect of Mormon history that probably many LDS members do not know, that makes it so intriguing.
You're a husband, Bill, and so am I. And I think the thing that I think about with all the responsibility I have as a husband is my decisions have huge implications for my wife in many different areas. Joseph Smith's actions had huge implications for Emma. And I think we're seeing that in the stories that we're telling here. A lot of it deals with Joseph Smith, but Emma, even though she may not have had anything to do with it, suffered a lot of consequences. And I think what we're going to talk about today is one of those things.
Absolutely correct. The actions of the husband do directly affect the life of the wife. And sadly, Emma did take the brunt of a lot of it. It is, I think, important. And I think one of the reasons why I think the book was unique in that Mormon history hardly ever really looks at Emma in that area. They always paint this picture, though, of Emma and Joseph's marriage as being this idyllic setting. And as we've said, it probably was for a time in the early years, although there was certainly controversy in the early years with the fact that Emma's father did not want her to marry Joseph Smith because of his money digging and his questionable reputation. And no doubt they did have a good marriage, I would assume, for at least part of the time during those early years. The later years, especially the Nauvoo years, and we're going to be getting to that in broadcasts to come, were certainly very tumultuous, to say the least.
And one of the things that wives like is they like to have security. They like to be able to not have to worry where they're going to be tomorrow. And what happens in this decade, the first decade of the Mormon Church, they're moving all over the place.
In order to segue into the question that we asked at the beginning of this broadcast, we have to go back to January of 2012 when a Reuters article came out that was titled Special Report, Mormonism Besieged by the Modern Age. The question we asked at the beginning of the show is, what was the Kirtland Bank failure and why did a Mormon historian use that as an example when talking about membership in the Mormon Church? There was this article in Reuters, and apparently at Utah State University in Logan, Utah, there was a question and answer period, and Elder Marlon Jensen, who at that time was the church historian, the LDS church historian, was asked a question of a woman in the audience about why members were leaving the church, and the phrase was, in droves. And he responded, "We are aware," said Jensen, according to this article. He said, "We are aware," said Jensen, "and I'm speaking of the 15 men that are above me in the hierarchy of the church. They really do know and they really care," he said. And what did he blame it on? He blamed it on information. He said that the internet was part of the problem. But one of the things he said, and this is why we cite this for today's show, is in that Q&A, he said, not since a famous trouble spot in Mormon history, the 1837 failure of a church bank in Kirtland, Ohio, have so many left the church, Jensen said. Maybe since Kirtland, we've never had a period of, I'll call it apostasy, like we're having now, he told the group in Logan. Now, of course, when we read this, that caught our attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because knowing what happened in 1837 with the Kirtland Bank makes Jensen's comment very significant. Now, the propaganda machine that we find among the LDS Church, usually through the Neil Maxwell Institute or FAIR, FAIR came out with a response to what Jensen said, and why don't you read what they say on their blog site?
Well, he said there has been a lot of...
And when you say he, this
Stephen
is
Smoot.
Stephen Smoot.
Yes, and this is written on January 15, 2013. He says, there has been a bit of buzz, mostly among ex and anti-Mormons, recently over some remarks of Elder Marlon K. Jensen, an emeritus member of the First Quorum of the 70 and former church historian and recorder, who is allegedly to have said that, thanks to Google, the omniscient fount of all knowledge, members of the church are leaving in droves. Right off there, you're attacking the source. You get it off of Google. But he goes on and says, some critics of Mormonism usually throw into the scenario the claim about the abject failure of apologetics institutes such as the Neil A. Maxwell Institute for Religious Scholarship and the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research to retain members' testimonies in the face of this overwhelmingly damning evidence is further proof that the church is on its last leg.
Well, now, we've never said that the church is on its last legs. I've always been of the personal opinion that if the church ceased as a religious entity, it could always go on as a business. But when they talk about members leaving, and some people are pointing to the lack of effect, a positive effect, we should say, of organizations like the Neil Maxwell Institute, or here, FAIR, we know from email that we receive that many times when people are struggling with their faith in Mormonism, they will tell us, I've gone to the Neil Maxwell Institute's website, I've gone to the FAIR website, and they're not convinced by the arguments that these two entities raise. Now, is that to say that they're never convincing to some people? No, of course not. You know, there are some people that they probably do seem to have answers for. There are a lot of people that really want to be Mormons and really don't want to leave, and it doesn't take a whole lot to keep them in. So, yeah. But for many of the people that we come in contact, I have had many emails where they will mention specifically FAIR and the Neil Maxwell Institute, which used to be called FARMS, and they will say that the answers were not satisfactory.
Well, and then he goes on, Stephen Smoot goes on in this article, and he says the first myth that must be dealt with is the idea that the idea of leaving in droves was stated by Elder Jensen.
I know, when I read that, I thought, you got to be kidding me. Is this really the best you can do on that? Because actually, Jensen was asked the question by a woman in the crowd. We don't know who she is.
Well, here's how it went. Here's her question. Is the church aware of that problem? Is there anything? I mean, the new manuals would help. I guess inoculation within terms of youth would help. What about people who are already leaving in droves? Jensen replied, we are aware. Maybe I'll just say this. You know what? I often get this question. Do the brethren really know? They do. And then he goes on and says, they realize maybe since Kirtland, we've never had a period of I'll call it apostasy like we're having right now, largely over these issues. He brings Kirtland into the issue. He does not deny that people are leaving in droves. And
that's what's important there.
Yeah.
See, when FAIR comes out and says, well, he never said that. As if, what, are you telling us that that's not a case? Are you telling that that's not happening? Just to say that Jensen never said that doesn't really answer the question. The fact is that Marlon Jensen, being a church historian, and from what I understand, he was a pretty good one, okay? He's not the historian now, but he was at that time. He had to have known what's going on. He knows about the numbers. The convert baptism rate, we were talking about it not long ago. They are not steadily going up like you would think. In fact, this last year, even after the Mormon moment, the convert baptisms were down.
Well, when we talk about the number, which is closing in on 15 million, and we were speculating how many of those people who are on the rolls are no longer considering themselves part of that church, because you have to go through a process. You have to take the effort to get off of the rolls. It's almost unfair for them to say 15 million when they know very well that they don't have 15 million members. I don't know what the number is, 2-3 million who have left the church, who are too scared to go back. I don't know what it is, but it has to be a big number.
I heard an interview of one man who mentioned that probably a little over 4 million were actually active in the Mormon church.
And that might be another 6 million who go to church, you know, twice a month and, you know, do a few of the things, call themselves Jack Mormons perhaps. Mm. But who, I'm talking about a number that has to be sizable, that has completely left the church. They either maybe are in a Christian church now, or they're atheist, whatever the situation is, but they haven't gone to that effort. They just say, you know what, who cares? I'm just going to leave my name on it.
I think you're right. I think a lot of people would not want to go through that trouble.
How many got baptized at the age of 8, and they're on the church rolls, and they never believed it as a teenager? I was just talking to a missionary yesterday, and he acknowledged he didn't go to seminary classes. He went for the first part of the first year, and he says, what should I do? Why should I go to this? And he kind of left. He had to come back to the church to be able to go on his mission. But how many don't come back to the church who are like that young man?
Getting back to Marlon Jensen's mention of Kirtland, and of course, this has been quite an introduction to get to the actual subject that we want to talk about, but I think it's important that people understand why this church historian would make that comparison. Because what took place in 1837, Kirtland, Ohio, which at the time, that's what where the Mormon church was headquartered. Of course, they had members all over the place, you know, in Missouri and places like that. But in Kirtland in 1837, a dramatic event took place, and it had to do with this bank, as it's been known as, the Kirtland Bank, the anti-bank.
I was going to say anti-bank.
Okay, that Joseph Smith started, failed after a lot of members put a lot of money into this thing to make it work. Now, it's not that Joseph Smith didn't lose money as well. He did. But this is a fascinating story that caused a lot of people in the Mormon church to lose faith in Joseph Smith and to ultimately leave the Mormon movement, considering him to be a false prophet. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. You just listened to today's broadcast of Viewpoint on Mormonism. But did you know that you can hear previous shows at your convenience? The Viewpoint on Mormonism podcast is free on the internet and will help you learn more about the LDS religion. Feel free to listen on your computer or download to your favorite listening device. Just go to mrm.org and click on the right side where it says On Air. All of our shows are here, so visit mrm.org today. At Mormonism Research Ministry, we're committed to equipping Christian believers to effectively share their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. That's why we produce Viewpoint on Mormonism, as well as operate our website, mrm.org, where you can find a wealth of information on this topic. We also have books and downloadable MP3s available online. In addition, we invite you to join in on the conversation at our blog site called Mormon Coffee. We want to be your resource for helping you better share the Christian faith.